Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the National Voluntary Consensus Standards for Nursing Homes Steering Committee second follow-up call. My name is Suzanne Terberg. I'm the project manager for this project here at the National Quality Forum. And I'd like to have the steering committee members introduce themselves so the public who's listening in can know who's on the call.
This is Bruce Boisenault.
This is Bill Kubat.
Bob Zorowitz.
This is Alice Bell.
Dee Dee Orden.
Ron Schumacher.
David Gifford.
Naomi Nyerman.
Heidi Gill.
Betty Franzen.
I know there's a couple other folks who haven't introduced themselves. Anybody else? All right, let's get started. Having a technical problem here. Our slides are just 1 second. Okay. Well, I'll just get started while Emma fixes our technical. Here we go. So the goals of this meeting are to discuss the RAND measure that was updated based on the steering committee recommendations, discuss the CMS measures, which were also updated based on the steering committee recommendations, and discuss the care transition measure that we briefly started on last time. We are just going to go over very briefly, just flash them up in front of everybody, the NQF endorsement criteria, just so we have it all fresh in our minds. Importance to measure and report is a first criteria, and we discussed this at the meeting, and it was agreed that all measures were important to report on. So the three measures, the three criteria that are under discussion today are scientific acceptability, usability, and feasibility. Again, just going over this briefly, measures must be in the public domain or have an intellectual property agreement signed. Measure owner must agree to maintain the measure. The use of the measure must include both public reporting and quality improvement, and the form must be complete, which at this point they all are. As after the last call, we'll be sending out a SurveyMonkey survey this afternoon to allow you to vote on these measures, and we'll be asking you to rate each of the criteria and then vote on whether or not to recommend the measure. Steering committee members who are not on this call are eligible to vote, but they won't be asked to wait till we've sent out the call notes so they can review those. You have two or three options for each of these measures that we'll be discussing today. Either recommend for endorsement as written, recommend for time-limited endorsement if the measure is untested, which some of these are, or do not recommend for endorsement. Okay. Unless there's any questions from the steering committee at this time, I think we can go straight into discussing the first measure.
Okay, this is Chris Miller, and the first measure is Nursing Home Falls 5 Physical Therapy Assistive Devices for New Balance Problem. It was submitted by RAND. We did review it at our in-person meeting, and we had some conditions that we wanted the nominator to talk about. One was an issue that the measure should focus only on the provision of physical therapy for patients with a new balance problem and removing assistive devices from the numerator, specifying the measure using items from the MDS-3O, removing the exclusion of dementia patients. And our nominator did submit a response to those issues, and I'm wondering if Neil is on the call right now.
I am.
Hey, Neil, would you like to speak to that?
So those were the three requests. Carol Roth, who I think is probably also on the call, and I attempted to do each of the things requested. We were able to remove assistive devices as a treatment modality from the numerator, and it in fact changed, as I think was suggested by this panel, it changed the numerator barely at all. Basically, everyone, it appears that everyone who received assistive device also received physical therapy. And so only physical therapy remains in the numerator. Carol altered all the specifications for MDS 3.0, which actually was a very minor process. And then we also removed the advanced dementia exclusion, but we also indicated that we did some literature review to see whether indeed such a removal might be warranted, because it is different than what our expert panel explicitly suggested, and didn't find a lot of literature, but the bit that we did find, some of which we included, suggested that such a removal might not be warranted. Yet we did do it since the panel requested it.
And this is Alice Bell. Is it appropriate for me to comment now?
Neil, is there any other comments you have before we, the steering committee members, ask questions?
No, unless Carol has another comment.
No.
Okay. So, Alice, go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to revisit the proposal of removing advanced dementia, and that was one of my recommendations at the time. But upon reviewing the submissions that were included here and doing some additional literature search on my own, I would agree at this point that it may be more appropriate to retain the advanced dementia exclusion, as I would agree that further review would indicate that the literature does not support the interventions as necessarily being efficacious in that subset. So I would revisit that.
That's certainly in line with our understanding. So we agree with you.
So currently we're reconsidering keeping advanced dementia as an exclusion. Are there any comments from the other steering committee members?
I think Rand did a nice job responding to our conditions and addressing them with the information. It sounds like it's been very helpful, at least for people who raised concerns before.
Yeah, this is Bob Zorowitz in New York. I agree. It sounds like we have a much, I think we have now a much sounder scientific basis for endorsing the measure.
So it's Dave Gifford. I'm hearing we vote later, right? We're not voting on the call, correct?
Yes, that's correct. If the co-chairs wish to call a straw vote or try to sort of get the temperature of the committee, you can do that. But the official vote needs to take place on the survey after the call.
No, I think I'm just more interested in making sure everyone's questions were answered so that they feel comfortable voting, not whether they're going to change their vote or keep the vote or anything else.
Right. But, Suzanne, this is Karen Pace. We need to get a sense of, so we know what they'll be voting on the SurveyMonkey, whether the consensus is now to leave the exclusion for dementia in the measure specification so that we can be very clear what they'll be voting on.
So right now, this is Chris Miller. I'd like to, it's hard to take a straw vote when you can't see hands, so I'm going to start with anybody who, what's being put on the table is to leave advanced dementia as an exclusion. If there's any, in a straw vote perspective, would there be anybody that would oppose that new modification?
Are you saying, this is Bruce, are you saying leave it in even though we know it doesn't add anything to the predictive power?
No, I said
remove it.
Remove it.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, because it sounds like there was multicollinearity with the other variable of did they get an assistive device, so it doesn't add anything anyway.
No, I think that you're talking about assistive device versus physical therapy. We're talking here about the exclusion of advanced dementia.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're on to the next measure. Yep.
Yeah. So the measure, what we have is that the assistive device is removed from the numerator, and we had asked the nominator to consider removing advanced dementia as an exclusion. Now we're saying we'd like to keep advanced dementia as an exclusion. I'd like to know if anybody would be opposed to keeping advanced dementia as an exclusion.
Oh.
Do we know if it adds to the predictive power? I'm not adverse to it regardless. I was just
there is a slight increase in the percent passing.
Good.
Could Neil just reiterate the what he said about that exclusion of advanced dementia, just so everybody is clear?
Right. So the underlying theory is that for patients that have advanced dementia, and we're able to obtain that by a set of variables from the MDS that were previously specified by a different group, the interventions to be included here may very well be helpful for the patient, but there isn't good evidence to indicate that one must do them, and therefore the original thinking was to exclude such individuals from the denominator of this quality indicator. And I think what I'm hearing here is agreement that that exclusion, which was explicitly put into place by an expert panel in reviewing this quality indicator when it was first developed, ought to remain in place. I don't have in front of me the percent passing, perhaps Carol does, with the exclusion and without it, but there is a higher percent pass with the exclusion in place.
I do not have it in front of me.
It was in the original.
Right.
It was in the original submission, but I have only our.
It was not very different. I think it was, less than 6 percentage points or something like that, as I recall. I just don't have it.
I can tell you, though, that when we use this exclusion for a variety of quality indicators for nursing home patients, it often has a profound effect. And we feel pretty strongly that we don't want to have a quality indicator applied to patients with conditions where the best evidence is that there isn't a clear benefit to be had. And that's how we feel about this process for patients with advanced dementia.
Am I hearing that both the measure submitter and the expert panel would rather keep the exclusion in?
Well, that's what the straw vote was about. So if there's anybody opposed to keeping it in, could you speak to your rationale?
Let me ask the question again. Did I just hear the measure submitter say, and accurately, that both the expert panel want to continue to exclude those patients, as does the measure submitter? Or did I get it backwards?
This is Bill, and that's what I'd heard.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
So we're taking a straw poll on whether we should follow their advice or not?
That's correct.
Yes, that's what we're taking a straw poll vote on.
Okay. I would follow their my vote is to follow their advice. And that would mean the exclusion, that would mean those patients are excluded, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, all right, okay.
Yep.
Too many double negatives going on here.
I would support that also.
So it would seem that when we're asked to vote electronically, then the measure would retain the exclusion of advanced dementia.
Is that the question that's going to be exact question that will be posed to us on SurveyMonkey?
No, that's the question being posed now.
Right.
Yeah.
The way the question will be posed is just a simple vote on the measure with the two conditions that the committee had put in place. So the measure developer has met that, so you'll be voting on to recommend to endorse the measure just with the assistive devices been removed and the specs have been updated to 3.0. So that's how the vote will go.
Okay.
And the voting is on either time limited or full endorsement or no endorsement?
Yes. This one is not eligible for time limited, I believe.
Okay. Maybe given that, did the nominators see the commentary that came in from Darlene Thompson?
I don't think so.
I did.
Well, she had raised a specific question in regards to the restorative nursing training and how that might impact the numerator. Any response or reaction to her point or question?
Carol, did you see that?
No, I did not.
No, I don't think it was forwarded to us.
No.
I apologize. I'm not sure that I forwarded this document to you. I can send it to you immediately after the call, but I'm not at my computer at the moment.
Suzanne, can you give them an idea of what the comment was or someone else?
I can read it if you'd like. This is Alice Bell.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. It says, I do not have the detailed specifications and do not understand the note under 2.8.3 regarding restorative nursing training and skill practice walking. If that question is part of the numerator, what is the number of days that the resident has to receive this training for the resident to count in the numerator? It is not mentioned in the calculation algorithm under 2.8.21.
And was that relating to this particular measure?
Yes, that was relating to new nursing home residents with a new balance problem receiving therapy. And then the second concern raised was how to consider residents who refuse physical therapy.
Right. So the refusal can be addressed by their marking on the MDS that the physical therapy was offered. Whether they use that designation or not, I'm not sure. Refusals are always a problem in measures of this sort, though a little bit less of a problem in process measures compared to outcome measures.
Mm-hmm.
The former question, without having everything in front of me, is difficult for me to address, although, and Carol and I would be happy to address it directly. I suspect that is simply one of the mechanisms by which the treatment to be captured in MDS could be given, and it would be no different than any other way that the therapy was performed.
Are there any other comments or issues regarding this measure?
This is Dee Dee Orden from the VA. I guess I still don't understand the restorative nursing issue and how it fits into the measure.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do either. I'm reading the comment, but I'm not sure where it's prompted from. I'm going back to look at the original measure now.
This is Karen. So perhaps the way to move on is to get a specific answer to that question when the measure developers can actually respond to it, and we can provide that information before you would vote.
Hmm.
Does that work?
I think that's the only thing we can do at this point.
I think that'd be helpful.
And this is Dell with NQF. I forwarded it to Neil and Carol, so you should have it in your inbox momentarily.
Thank you.
I think it would also help to get some clarification from Darlene about why she was speaking about restorative nursing for this, if she was suggesting that it also be another item for the numerator or what. I think that's where my confusion is.
Well, I think, I mean, it currently is an item in the numerator. I think the question, it sounds like she was wondering the number of days, because I believe the way this entered is number of days during the past week. Is that correct? The question?
I don't have the measure in front of me.
I have the measure in front of me now, and I'm just going through it. I'm not finding, looking for the restorative nursing reference in the citations she's noted, and I'm not finding anything. There's nothing I can find in the measure that references restorative nursing. When I look at 2.8.3 and 2.8.21, which is what she referenced, neither of those sections mention restorative nursing.
It's in the memo?
In her memo?
No, I'm sorry. It was in the original documentation, and it's also in the revision memo that we sent, where we documented or addressed the issues that were listed for us to address.
Okay. Well, I think I think some of us are having a little trouble following it, just because you can only have so many documents in front of you at the same time. And I don't know what you meant when you said the memo yet.
We're just trying to upload that file for everyone to review. Unfortunately, we couldn't load everything before the call, so we're trying to get the measure open now.
Right. So this is in the response on May 7th to the request from the panel. 2A3 does indicate that MDS 3.05F, restorative rehabilitation and nursing rehabilitation restorative care, that the number of days of training and skill practice in walking for at least 15 minutes in the last 7 calendar days. So it is a component of the numerator.
I think I'm looking at the memo that was just sent to us, and she's asking what is the number of days that the resident has to receive this training for the resident to count in the numerator. Now, I'm off the top of my head, I believe it is one. Neil, can you speak?
I think
to that?
That is the case. That,
I believe so.
That any of this treatment counts.
Right, 1 through 7 was all okay.
Okay.
So that's what Darlene was trying to clarify, is the number of days for restorative nursing for it to count. And the answer is 1 through 7.
Right. Any treatment of that sort over the past week.
Looks like it's coming up on the screen right now for us to see.
That specification of the 1 through 7 was in the additional document that was sent originally. I'm sorry, it wasn't included specifically in this revision.
Well, I'm not sure we need to see anything at this point, do we? This is Dee Dee. That's how I feel. I mean,
I think
the answer.
Yeah. I think that's the answer, right, exactly. I think I had forgotten that restorative therapy was part of the numerator.
You weren't the only one.
Nursing. Yeah. Okay, so having said that, we've responded to Darlene's question, and it seems that we now are at a point where, are there any other issues or concerns about this measure?
This is Bill. I don't remember the extent to which we talked about this the last time. I just don't remember. But just for purposes of asking it, is there any way, shape, or form that any element or aspect of this measure is impacted by the on-again, off-again therapy caps?
It would, I mean, this is Alice Bell. To the point, is simply that a patient who presents with a new balance problem is basically referred for services, it would seem. And I think the impact would be relatively, there is a potential impact if the patient has exhausted benefits and the problem develops after as a new problem. But if you talk about the point of refusing therapy, it would kind of fall under that same umbrella, because the patient at that point, if there are no benefits, would make a decision to either receive therapy services at cost or to refuse them. So it could generally get captured under that same refusal umbrella. I think the point being more than that the services are made available.
And there is or is not a means or a mechanism to capture the refusal?
Neil, you had referenced the means to capture the refusal.
Well, I mean, if in fact physical therapy is provided to a resident, but the resident refuses to participate, the physical therapy on MDS is indicated to have been provided. But there may be variation in the way that that's captured across nursing homes.
So, Bill, you're the one who asked the question. Are you satisfied with the answer? Did that get to what your concern was?
Well, it doesn't fully satisfy it, because I think what the issue begs for is not the variability in terms of responding at the center level, but clarity in terms of the RAI manual.
So I just need to know, does that present an issue with this measure that would require RAND to do anything with the way it is defined?
It does raise for me, this is Bill again, it does raise for me, the uncertainty as to why it's either feast or famine. It's either full endorsement or no endorsement. It's not the time limited to be able to test the impact of variables like that.
Well, I think that the question you're asking from a measurement perspective is very similar to virtually every other care process that gets measured. If a glycosylated hemoglobin is refused, how is that captured? The answer is never. The care processes of these sorts are far more likely to be captured within MDS upon refusal, because the treatment is offered and initiated but then refused. The question really is, how much of a misclassification error is there likely to be? Being able to exactly categorize that, would not be simple, but one would think that it's actually a smaller misclassification error than in most of the other care processes where there are refusals.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that that's the case.
And this is Karen Pace. And the reason we don't have, you know, because we could have almost every measure with some question of further testing, and basically, you know, we really want to either endorse measures or not endorse measures. You know, in the future, we're going to have very few time-limited endorsed measures that have not been tested. But our usual process is all these measures will be reviewed on an every three-year cycle. And, you know, the measure developers will be required to submit information about how the measure has actually been implemented and performed. So it's not that this can't be revisited, but it's part of the usual process that all measures need to be looked at on a periodic basis to see how they're performing.
Thank you.
And I just want to clarify, on the minutes from our in-person meeting, this measure is listed as a time-limited endorsement.
Suzanne, has this measure been, did they submit reliability and validity testing or not? I don't.
I thought this measure was submitted as tested. That might be a...
No, that is true. And we tried to reiterate where we thought that we had indeed implemented this, which we have.
Yes, we're just checking over the submission form, and I think that might be a mistake in the notes. That's a mistake in the notes. We'll fix that.
Okay. All right. Are we at a point now where we can move to the next measure? Are there any other concerns, questions, or issues with this measure? Otherwise, this measure will be presented to us as that assistive devices have been removed from the numerator and the MDS 3.0 items define the measure. Okay, I believe we can move to the next agenda item.
Thank you.
We're just uploading the, or returning to the slide set. All right. Dr. Gifford?
So we had a number of measures that were submitted by RTI that have been funded by CMS. And we had some with questions. We had put some conditions on. We had some time-limited aspects. And we, I believe, in our packet that came out was a memo May 12th from Roberta Constantine responding to many of our questions and comments as we go forward. So I will turn it over to, I think, is it Judith Tobin is presenting today for RTI? Dan?
I believe she is. Are you still on the line?
I am. Actually, it'll be Roberta Constantine from RTI will take the lead.
Okay.
Okay.
Roberta, you want to start at a high-level overview, or do you want to go through each of the measures? How do you want to do this?
Maybe perhaps we could start with two overarching issues that had come up in regards to the measures, because they affect most of the measures.
Right.
And that was... that the steering committee asked us for, you know, better specification in regards to the long-term and the short-term residents and being sure who was included in the numerator and denominator in exclusion. So we hope that we agreed with the steering committee's recommendation regarding the need to clarify that definition. And so the short stay measures all residents whose length of stay in the facility is less than or equal to 100 days from the date of admission. And then in regards to the denominator for the long stay measures, to include the residents whose length of stay is greater than 100 days. And there was the other request that residents who are discharged and to a hospital with a return anticipated will not have the 100 days count reset to zero when they return to the facility. So we hope that we clarify that and defined it better and appreciate the recommendation of the steering committee. Another overarching issue that had come up had to do with the missing data in the denominators, and we agreed to include for the vaccination measures the missing data in the denominator. For a number of the other measures, though, we proposed to examine the extent, the distribution, and the impact of the missing data on the measures as we conduct the reliability testing prior to making an inclusion or an exclusion decision. We're very cautious in regards to taking a look to see how this actual data come in, and we're a little hesitant to specifically include or exclude missing data, but this is something that we, you know, absolutely on the reliability testing, once the data starts to be collected, that we'll need to examine extremely thoroughly, and we appreciate the committee's recommendation and note that that is something that's very important for us to include.
So if this is based off 3.0 and hasn't gone out, does that mean that all the measures you would request to have a time-limited nature too because of that testing?
I'm trying to think of the measures that weren't specifically time limited. I think there were just a few because they were so close to the MDS 2.0 data. But yes, overall, okay. We would be happy to take a look at that and have accept time limited endorsement in order to review the data coming in.
Okay.
But the way the measure that we're voting on is one that excludes missing data, right? I mean, it says you haven't made a decision yet, but there needs to be something that we're voting on, right?
Correct.
RTI is presenting before the committee to continue to exclude missing data until such time that you've done the testing, reliability, validity testing, correct?
That's correct, correct.
Edie, does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks, Skip.
It may change your vote, but it answers your question.
Roberta, this is Karen Pace. So could you just give your rationale then for why, you don't have the data, but conceptually I think was what would be the reason for excluding patients that have missing data?
I think looking back on the missing data, I believe it's been very, very, a very